pray that we might hear your word and understand it, and that hearing and understanding we may be those who follow and do your word. This we ask, that Christ may be glorified in our lives. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things about the lectionary is, of course, that you get all sorts of readings, and some ones that you're not perhaps as easy to want to preach about. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first, says Jesus. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to be hated. I want to be liked. It's the thing every preacher wants. They want to be liked. They want people to say nice things about them. When someone once described my Christian faith to me as a crutch, something that made my life easy, I suggested that they didn't understand the call of Christ to follow. In fact, although I've always found my security in Christ, which does indeed bring peace and contentment, I have found the challenge of following Jesus extremely difficult, and my efforts are often disappointing. But then, when we study the Gospel carefully, when we read through Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, we realise that Jesus is talking about an upside-down picture of life in the world, in which Jesus describes what it means to be kingdom citizens, as opposed to a citizen of this world. This is no easy call to follow, and it may give us a hint of why the world might hate us. What our culture tells us to pursue, Jesus flips on its head. It's no wonder that some non-Christians might consider Christians to be foolish, to buy into a life that they consider to be weak. Look at the subjects in each of the sentences in the Beatitudes. Most people that we meet would not wish to be characterized by such words. It would be an insult. It would be an embarrassment. Blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that are sad about the world, those who mourn. Well, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor, the mourners, those who are really sad about the state of the world, the meek, the gentle, those who seek to be honest and blameless. The merciful. The pure in heart, pure in thought and mind. Peacemakers. And those who are persecuted for doing good. Well, most of the people we hear or read about in the media would have a very different set of values. We can think of some of those people that we've heard about just in the last couple of weeks. In fact, many people we know, even ourselves on time, would think quite differently. Blessed are the self-confident, because they rule the world. Blessed are the positive thinkers, because they don't need anybody's comfort. Blessed are the cocky and assertive, because they get what they want. Blessed are those who hunger for fame, because they get reality TV shows. Blessed are the vengeful, because they get respect. Blessed are the impure pleasure seekers, because they have a good time. Blessed are those who beat their opponents, because the victors write the history books. Blessed are the popular, because everybody loves them. Jesus is telling his disciples how it will be if they follow his example. The world, far from liking you, will probably end up hating you. Not of the world, but in the world, says Jesus, I have chosen you out of the world. Now, we live in the world, and we know, and we're realistic about the values and the pressures, the temptations and the suffering that we, along with the whole of humankind, experience. And of course, we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're actually of no earthly use. We know what's important to our neighbours and our friends and our family in terms of peace and security, happiness and contentment. And we also know what's important to God in terms of our sincerity, our honesty, and our love for our neighbours. But then we're not going to follow some of the strange regulations that some people insist on in churches. We're not going to be enslaved to rules and opinions about styles of worship or versions of the Bible. What are appropriate modes of dress for turning up in church, or even which denomination is closest to God. We'll not lay down rules either about lifestyle and relationships of others who want to come to church. We'll present them rather with a company of God's people who offer Christ-like acceptance and forgiveness and a much more fulfilled way of living. We'll seek to live out the love that Jesus talked about in the verses before those that we heard from the Gospel, where Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." What we will try to do is to try and make it easy for people outside the church to encounter God. We'll try to make it easy for them to hear the good news in a language that they can understand. We'll not put barriers in the way of them knowing God's love and forgiveness. But neither will we suggest that following Jesus is easy. Because we will show that following Jesus means standing up for the poor, for those who are discriminated against. We'll not be bound by party loyalty or designations of social position. We'll speak out against injustice and inequality in society. And we will declare the nature of the judgment of God against the self-seeking and self-centered, whether they are politicians, business leaders, church leaders, or even neighbours and family members. This is why Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, though, you do not belong to the world, because I have chosen you out of the world. We want to be loved, of course. We want to be appreciated. We want to be well thought of. But that should be because of our honesty and our integrity and our compassion for others. Not because we try not to rock the boat. Not because we try to keep quiet, anything for a quiet life, or simply try to please people. As Bishop Michael Curry said at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, there is power in love. There's a power in love to help and to heal when nothing else can. There's a power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There's a power in love to show us the way to live. So it is what we have in Christ that matters, As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, consequently you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So that's what we are. We are members of God's family. We have the witness of the apostles and the church down through 2,000 years as our foundation. And we have the witness of our friends here, both present, and of course there are those who have completed their journey and who are members now of the household of heaven. We have each other as our supporters in this world, built together and indwelt by God's Spirit. We pray together. We worship together. We share each other's joys and problems. Such is our family here. Because we are modelling an alternative family, an alternative society, a family and people of God who know life to the full, and who know God's presence with us in life at all times, good, bad, and indifferent, through death and for eternity. As the psalm writer says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. When I saw the verses that we were to look at this morning, I thought very quickly about a poem by Adrian Platz, which is something that is quite dear to my heart, and I will leave us with this poem. When I became a Christian, I said, Lord, now fill me in. Tell me what I'll suffer in this world of shame and sin. He said your body may be killed and left to rot and stink. Do you still want to follow me? I said, amen. I think, amen. I'm not completely sure. Can we just go through that again? You say my body may be killed and left to rot and stink. Well, yes, that sounds terrific, Lord. I'll say amen, I think. But Lord, there must be other ways to follow you, I say. I really would prefer to end up dying in my bed. Well, yes, he said. You could put out with sneers and scorn and spit. Do you still want to follow me? I said amen, a bit. A bit, amen, amen, a bit. A bit, I say, amen. I'm not entirely sure. Can we just run through that again? You say I could put up with sneers and also scorn and spit. Well, yes, I've made my mind up. I say, amen, a bit. Well, I sat back and thought a while, and tried a different ploy. Now, Lord, I said, the good book says that Christians live in joy. That's true, he said, you need the joy to bear the pain and sorrow. So do you want to follow me? I said, amen, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord, I'll say it then. That's when I'll say amen. I need to get it clear. Can you just run through that again? You say that I will need the joy to bear the pain and sorrow. Well, yes, I think I've got it straight. I'll say amen tomorrow. He said, look, I'm not asking you to spend an hour with me, a quick salvation sandwich and a cup of sanctity. The cost is you, not half of you, but every single bit. Now tell me, will you follow me? I said amen, I quit. I'm very sorry, Lord, I said. I'd like to follow you, but I don't think religion is the tough thing to do. He said, forget religion then, and think about my son, and tell me, are you tough enough to do what he has done? Are you tough enough to see the need and tough enough to go? Are you tough enough to care for those who no one wants to know? Are you tough enough to say the things that people hate to hear? To battle through Gethsemane in loneliness and fear? And listen, are you tough enough to stand it at the end, the moment of betrayal by the kisses of a friend? Are you tough enough to hold your tongue and tough enough to cry when nails break your body? Are you tough enough to die? Tough enough to take the pain and wear it like a crown? Tough enough to love the world and turn it upside down? Are you tough enough to follow me? I ask you once again. I said, oh Lord, I'm frightened. But I also said, amen, 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 amen. I said, oh Lord, I'm frightened. But I also said, amen.